I'm going to the roller rink with my friends, with my fat shoelaces and my cardboard in case I need to spin. I'll be jamming to Space Cowboy, Space Cowboy, and I'll be skating and shooting the duck. I'll be jamming and skating and shooting the duck. And then a couple skate starts. Let me love you down. I don't know what to do as the girl skates to me. You know what I do. I skate over to Burgertown and put my card in the machine. I jam on that machine cause I am bad. B-A-D-B. At Burgertown I play on fat shoelaces and my cardboard in case I need to spin. I'll be jamming to Space Cowboy, Space Cowboy, and I'll be skating and shooting the duck. I'll be jamming and skating and shooting the duck. And then a couple skate starts. Let me love you down. I don't know what to do as the girl skates to me. You know what I do. I skate over to Burgertown and put my quarter in the machine. I jam on that machine cause I am bad. B-A-D-D. At Burgertown I play on. I'm going to the roller rink with my friends, with my I'm going to the roller rink with my friends, with my fat shoelaces and my cardboard in case I need to spin. I'll be jamming to Space Cowboy, Space Cowboy, and I'll be skating and shooting the duck. I'll be jamming and skating.
If you're wondering what the fuck you just listened to, that was me creating a song, writing the lyrics, creating the song for my good friend Keith Knudsen for DC Noise for Pajama Jeans Records, which Daryl Taylor was the producer of. Never paid me a damn cent. But that was a big hit, and I'm proud to say I'm releasing it again. And as soon as I find the hit song, Omactivate, I will be releasing that one too. I just have to dig that out of the archives. So I'll talk to you later. Welcome to another episode of Mike M's Weekly Reads. So how's everybody doing out there? I had a pretty decent week. It was a pretty productive week at work. I still got a lot of stuff to do. But it was a pretty good way to end it. I ended the week on a good note. I like to end it technically on a good note because then my mind doesn't like think about all the stuff that I had problems with all weekend. So it's like a good way to decompress. So came home more early. I called a third sprinkler place because I need to get the sprinklers fixed. I wish I could just fix it myself, but I just don't have the time. Nor the skills. My dad was here. I would learn so much from him because my dad would just fix it. And if he was here, I could just say, Dad, what do I need to do? What do I need to get? Or I could go to the internet and do it, but I'll fuck it up. I'm just not good at that. And it's a leak underground, so I'd have to dig it all out under the rocks and all that stuff. And I'm not in the best of shape, as you've probably seen pictures of me. I'm sitting here drinking Naked Berry Blast. And they're fruit drinks. We get these little small ones there. This one is... how many ounces is it? And that's 140 calories, which is quite a bit, but for the size.
I can't find the size on this sucker, but it's a really tiny bottle. But they're really good, and my wife gets like a thing of 12, I believe it is, at Costco. And I like drinking these every now and then. I really would love to have a cheer wine, but I can't get a hold of them. I could, like Ronnie Barron, but they sell them on Amazon, but god damn, it's expensive. I'm like, holy shit. But I might have to resort to that. So, yeah, I got to get that sprinkler fixed because my grass is dying. I'm trying to water it. Today we had actually a freeze, so I had to drain the sprinklers. I can still water the front. It's the pipe that goes from the front to the back that has a hole in it. And I know the spot because I can see sand bubbling up from that spot. Because our houses are sort of built on like a sand creek. We're actually near a sand creek, so there's a lot of sand. But anyway, I'm going to probably, today's really windy, but tomorrow I'll probably go manually water. I don't mind doing it. As long as there's not a lot of bugs, just go manually water it. Plus, we had all our trees, our aspen trees where we're at, they kind of die after about 20, 25 years because of the soil. Like, it'll hit a certain point. And we had them pulled out because they were pretty much all dead. And but one of them had little sprouts on it, so we kept it there. And we kept the baby trees there alive. And one looks absolutely beautiful. It's straight. And the other one I need to cut because it's like growing out of the trunk sideways. But damn, I just love aspens. I love the way the leaves, it has like a calming effect. It's like this sound they make that just makes it unbelievably peaceful for me. But my comics came today. So some things that I've gotten in the mail that I thought I'd talk about. That's not the corona. That's me coughing because the drink sort of went down the wrong pipe. Could be the corona. I don't know. I've been really careful. Our work wears the masks every time you leave. Go anywhere, you have a mask on. When you're with people, you have a mask on. When you're at your desk, you could take it off as long as there's nobody within 6 feet of you. And you're behind cubed walls that are 6 feet or higher and sitting down. If you're standing and have a standing desk, you're kind of screwed. If you're above a certain height, you have to wear the mask all day. But I appreciate the mask wearers out there. So props to all you people that are wearing masks for everybody else, because masks really do help. They mostly help other people that could get the disease from you. But they work really well when everybody's wearing the masks. Like if both people are wearing masks and one has corona, you have like 70% protection. If you have a mask, it's pretty low. You still do increase your odds to like 30%. So, Alexa, turn off the music. Sorry, I had the music playing in there. I was opening up my DCBS box. Yes, they're coming again. And that's because Lunar/DCBS made an agreement with DC and they can ship the books. And I'll talk about that in a bit, but I want to still talk about my day. So I got off work. My car was sort of dirty from 2 weeks ago because we had a sort of a storm that they had to lay the crap down on the roads. So I had to get my car cleaned. And it was awesome because I got out of work early. I went to one of those automated ones. There was one car in front of me, and usually it's like four. So I like got in right away, washed my car. I came home, called the sprinkler guy, third one. He still doesn't give me a date because he said everybody got a hard freeze last year in October. And he said the demand is crazy. So I'm in the queue with three different sprinkler people that fix sprinklers. But then I made a decision just to, things were supposed to start opening up like soft this week. And what that means is like soft is like if you had a retail, then only 50% of your capacity or something to that effect. There's a percentage you could allow in. But I made it a choice I was going to call Heroes and Dragons Comics, because that guy supplies me with boxes, and I usually go to his store. And I usually clear them out. I usually buy 20 short drawer boxes. I'm all drawer boxes. Once you go drawer boxes with anchors and rails, you don't go. You don't want to go to like fancy cabinets. They're the best box. They are the sturdiest box. You could stack them five high. You can anchor them all together so they don't move when you slide the drawers in and out. But he said he only has a few, so tomorrow I'm going to go and clear them out. What I like to do is I have a storage unit. I like to buy at least 20 to 25. I go there, buy, and then I load up my storage unit with the empty boxes, and then I usually bring like four with me at a time. So when I need them, I always have them. Well, during this whole thing, well, they weren't shipping new comics, but I have been getting like back issues and such. So I'm out of boxes. So he's going to hook me up tomorrow, which is a good thing. And then I decided to call my old comic shop, which I don't buy comics from anymore. I wanted to see if he was open. And I called him, and he said, yes, I've opened. It's just me now. I don't have my employees anymore because I can't afford them anymore. But he's opened. I was really surprised to hear that both stores had went to Lunar. And Lunar is supplying DC Comics to stores. And why was I surprised is because I know both stores don't care for Diamond, mostly because of the way they pack things. So they get so many damages every month that they have to report, and it's really frustrating. But I didn't think it was worth their while to get a couple weeks worth of books before Diamond shipped, and especially what they were shipping. Like, they weren't shipping any of the big books. Yes, there's a Justice League book in there, but like the biggest popular book that came out this week, well, I get, it could be debated. I don't know how sales numbers go. But you had Batman and the Outsiders. That could be their biggest book. But you had Hawkman, House of Whispers, Green Lantern Season 2, The Flash, the facsimile edition of the first appearance of the Huntress, which is Secret Origins of Superheroes, or DC, it's the proper title is DC Superstars Presents number 17. That facsimile edition came out. And then you had Joker and Harley Criminal Insanity number 4. So those are the comics. Now, what I really was surprised is that Lunar shipped trades. I didn't think they would have the trades. I thought their deal with DC was strictly for comics and not the collected editions. But the collected editions was a big surprise because there's two of them that I absolutely adore. Okay, so we got from the young adult line Gotham High. We got from the young adult line The Lost Carnival, a Dick Grayson novel. We have, I double dipped on this because it's one of my favorite teams in all of comics, and it's totally about picking up that comic book at the spinner rack with Wonder Woman and the Freedom Fighters on it. I became obsessed with the Freedom Fighters. So I double dip, triple dip. Anytime I see Freedom Fighters, I even go into the Golden Age and buy an issue here and an issue there of National Comics, Smash Comics, Crack Comics, Police Comics, just so I can get myself some Freedom Fighters. I fucking adore them. And then we have Shazam, The World's Mightiest Mortal, Volume 2. This is the 70s run of Shazam. We have Justice League of America, a celebration of 60 years. We have Jonah Hex, the Weird Western Tales, that also features all-star westerns that he appeared in. So it's got his first appearance going forward through the Weird Western before he got his own title. So that was the one I was looking forward to the most. The other one is the Shazam, the World's Mightiest Mortal from Fawcett. Well, this was from DC, but the character came from Fawcett. And I've always been intrigued by Shazam. Also because when I was a kid, I watched that live-action TV show where they drive around in that white Winnebago and solve some kid's dilemma. And you needed the Mightiest Mortal to help a kid that was blind from a rattlesnake, or a kid being bullied into a gang and want to steal a car, that kind of stuff. But there are good lessons. So that is what's going on. But I was surprised that both shops had switched to Lunar for their DC books, which means they had to cancel their... Well, their Diamond orders were already canceled for DC. They just had to readmit them by final order cutoff. And Diamond did that because they knew that some people were going to be switching to get their books. So there's that. And it is discouraging going to the store, too. I went to Walmart today to risk my life for the new series of comics that was supposed to be there. Not the DC stuff, but that new independent publisher had 4 comics coming out. And has me real intrigued just to get the first 4 from an historical perspective. I don't think I would stick with them because they're so goddamn expensive. They're like 4 something for 30 pages. That's just ridiculous. You could get the size of a 100-page giant in the DC for the same, for 1 penny more than you can these regular size comics. But I love comics history, and the fact that these went directly to Walmart as an independent publisher has me very intrigued. But I didn't have any luck going in there, but it was really discouraging going to Walmart. You know, we're supposed to have a mask rule. And I'd say, from what I saw, there was probably like a 50-50, you know, of people wearing masks. But I guess that's better than 25-75, so I could be thankful for what I get. The other thing that came in is Aquaman number 3. So my journey to get Aquaman is happening, and I estimate I'll be complete by the end of the year. I've been trying to get like a book a month, and that's where I am with that. I also did get the entire run of Devil's Reign from Top Cow and Marvel, and what it is a crossover between Top Cow and Marvel. And you have Weapon Zero, Silver Surfer, Psyblade Ghost Rider, Ghost Rider Ballistic, Ballistic Wolverine, Wolverine Witchblade, Witchblade Elektra, Elektra Psyblade. See how they do that with the last character, Silver Surfer, Weapon Zero? So it ended back where it started. I already read one of them, and I didn't used to like crossovers because I thought the plots were pretty weak. And usually they are. I mean, there's some really good Marvel DC ones that are exception to the rule. But the stories are sort of generic. You know, this character meets that character and they fight one villain and then they're done. But now I find them more fascinating just because we'll never see them again. Or the probability of seeing them is low. I got Thor 156. Beautiful cover has Thor and the Warriors 3 on there, along with Baldur the Brave. Some robot I've never seen before, Lady Sif. Really cool cover. Thor's actually standing on this like gigantic sword, and the rest of them are in front of the sword. It's an amazing cover, Thor 156. I got Green Lantern number 60. I'm very close to finishing this run, minus I need like 1 through 10. But I do have every Green Lantern comic from 1973 forward, and now I'm trying to fill all the rest of them in. And then I bought some cherry Pop-Tart. They're sort of X-rated comics, sort of. They are X-rated comics. Drawn in an Archie fashion by Larry Wetz. And he lives in Albuquerque now, which is where I'm from. I did get to meet him at one of those Albuquerque Comic Cons. And he had a blank edition of Cherry. And he had drawn a sketch on there. I think it was of Red Sonja. And I bought one of those from him and got to talking to him. But I never had any Cherry comics. And I read my first one last week, and I was very pleasantly surprised. As a matter of fact, I placed an order with Aaron Myers to get the full collection. So I imagine by this time next week, I will have the full collection of Cherry Pop-Tart. I also, you're going to say, God, you nasty boy. I also, these books are incredible. It's like a heavy metal magazine that's X-rated, drawn by all the artists that you know today. Adam Hughes, Soydum, all these popular artists. It's Penthouse Comics, and I was able to get the first issue of that. But I don't have it yet. But I do have the first drawn comic by Greg Capullo. And it was by Fantco. They're back, by the way. They're not publishing a lot, but they're back. This happened, I don't know if it was the 80s or early 90s, but it's called Gore Shriek. Probably the 90s because of the cover price is $1.50. And I picked up Gore Shriek number 1 and 2. I'll probably give one of those a read this weekend. And then I picked up for my wife, I do these Facebook auctions in the middle of the night, and they suck because the scrolling and just knowing if you're outbid, it's just bullshit. But every now and then you'll be able to place a bid and win something. And I won Muppets Magazine, summer of 1983, which had the Muppets in space, and Piggy is Princess Leia, Kermit is Luke, and Darth Vader is Gonzo. And it has an article about E.T.'s Drew Barrymore. So that should be interesting. I bought it mostly for my wife, because she's a huge Muppets fan. I got Heroes Inc. Presents number 2. Because last episode I talked about getting Heroes Inc. number 1, and there are only 2 issues. And if you Wikipedia that comic, the one thing you'll find is it's almost considered, at least in the text, I don't know how true this is, but the first independent comic. And that is even more exciting to own, if that's true. But even if it's not, and it's close to being the first independent comic, it's still fascinating. And let's see what else I got. I won an issue of Golden Age Blackhawk. And yes, I put a high bid on it, but it's in fantastic shape. It is number 47. And I do have a lot of Golden Age Blackhawk, but this is my earliest issue I have, so I was very happy to get that. And then I won an issue of Combat, and luckily this is in a bag and board, because I hate those sticky taped bags, but that's what the plastic was stuck to. But it's an issue of Combat War Stories. These have amazing. I read the first Combat. I only own two issues of Combat from Dell. And one thing I really loved about Combat at least the one issue I read, was it was all historical. And the stories that I read were actually told by somebody that fought in that battle. And I don't know if this issue is going to have that, but the other one did. And it was absolutely fucking amazing. Excuse my language, but it was. Last but not least, I am going to check my Twitter and see if I got any questions. And I only have one. But Dallo is really good about giving me questions. A valiant brother from overseas. But he asked me a question that when I didn't even pull for questions, and I like those, and I was going to answer it on the fly. But I forgot what it was because it was so long ago. I think it might come back to me. Oh, I know what it was. He said, "Hey, Mike, I'd like to know if you caught up on any of your comics that you, because the coronavirus, you're not getting any new books. How much of the collection did you catch up on?" And I have been reading above average. I've been reading about anywhere from 40 to 60 books a week since this all started. And sometimes it's in the 30s, but it's more than usual. And so I am gaining on that, but it's not what you think. If you factor a percentage, it's probably like 0.01, because my collection is huge. So I'm not really making a dent. I'm making a positive impact into my collection, but I did read a lot of DC Comics. That's for sure. So thank you for that question. And then you asked, you're in charge of a 6-issue DC Marvel crossover. Choose the characters and creative team that can be from any era or any mix of writer and artist, and try to give a plot. I'm not really good with plots, especially with characters that exist. I like making plots for my characters, but I would love to see a Batman Daredevil, because they're both sort of ground-based heroes. And I would like it to focus on being blind. And I know Batman's not blind, but I would like to see like a more sensitive story about his inability to see, something emotional that we could see. Who would I like to craft that story? I think Frank Miller would do a hell of a job. Even though he kind of is weird right now with some of the titles that he does. But I think he's got such a handle on both those characters. And I don't think he could draw much as he used to draw. But I would be perfectly okay with somebody that draws sort of like him. And I would go with a JRJR, just because his art style, like when he did the Frank Miller Superman Year One Black Label, I just thought it was amazing. I would pair up those two. But I want like a more grounded story and something that would like talk to like Daredevil's inability to see. You could put him in a very sensitive story in the pandemic and see how he would deal with that. Because if you read a lot of Frank Miller, especially, well, actually it's throughout his, going back to Dark Knight, very political in his comics. So it would be interesting to see. And we know how he feels about the current president because he wrote it in the Golden Child. But, that's what I would like to see. And probably a lot of people wouldn't like to see what I like to see. I like to see what other people don't like to see. I'm very out. Although there's a lot of people that love Frank Miller. So I'll say that there would be a lot of people. And a lot of my inner circle, like there's a lot of people that are in my inner circle that don't like JRJR. But there are a lot of them that love him. And my brother Bill Bomer and me just love him. And I know Nick Wetmore from Nerdy Legion loves him. And I think it takes, like, I don't know. I don't know what attracts why we like it, because his art isn't conventional for sure. But it appeals to us, and we can talk about it for hours, at least me and Bill. That's why that podcast is like 4 hours, is because you see me ramble like this? Well, I'm rambling with somebody else that can ramble with me. And to tell you the truth, when it comes to like comic discussions, like deep comic discussions, there's no other person I'd rather talk to than Bill Bomer. He's like, he truly is. Like, I have a lot of comic book brothers. I mean, people that are like, they're my family that I've met through podcasting. And but I'll tell you one thing about Bill is we have very similar histories. And it's almost like I'm talking to myself sometimes. The only thing is he's not like a DC or continuity freak like I am. That's where we differ. He's more like an indie guy. Like, that's where Bill thrives. But when you look at our occupations, you look at when we graduated, you look at the fields we were in, what we do in industry, how we think. We're both engineers. Very similar. I mean, just in everything that we do and think. It's almost scary. And the fact that we can have a 4-hour conversation or 5-hour conversation and it not feel like that, like it really seems like a 1-hour conversation. That is like when you're truly compatible, when you can talk about something and ramble and tangent about something for so long and not even notice that time has moved. But anyway, those are some of my acquisitions. And I told you about some. The latest Geek Brunch is absolutely fantastic. For me and for me and Bill. I don't know if listeners will love it. But we went off on this weird tangent, and I don't know what got us there. But we started going through the database, comic base, and we started talking about comics that had the number 13 in them. And we went down so many rabbit holes that I just can't even tell you. And that led us to the number 7. So the next episode is brought to you by the number 13 and 7. And we talked hours on those comics. And it made me go to eBay and buy, I think it was 3 comics with the number 13 in them. One of them we talked about forever because I love Dr. Seuss. But I never knew he did an adult Dr. Seuss. I never knew that until I was going through my comic base and that comic showed up. And I was like, oh my God. He put his finger in adult comics? Like, yeah, it's picture and words like a Dr. Seuss, Green Eggs and Ham. It's not quite sequential art, but it's told in the story that he would have done a children's book. And it was I looked at the interiors and stuff, and I was like, oh my god, this is absolutely amazing. I have to fucking have this. And I ordered it, so hopefully that will come in so I can really, really talk about it. But I think that I was hoping to get more questions, but I'm glad that I got the ones that I did. So thank you, Dallo Spicer. I wonder if that's your real name. If it is, it's a pretty damn cool name. But what else? Well, I think that takes me to the weekly reads, and it's going to take me a bit because I have to assemble the weekly reads. I gotta the process usually is I have them all in a file, but then I have to total them, and I haven't done that yet. And I don't like to total them until I'm ready to process them. So I may only do 2 weeks this week, but I'll do more than one for sure. So, because I'm almost offset on Mike M's weekly reads by a little over a week, like they're not coming out as frequent as I like. But oh, another thing that I'm late to the game on that I want to recommend. When I was in high school, I would often come home and turn on my TV. I had my own TV. And this was just like local stations, and I had a little VCR there. But Fox would show a lot of syndicated programs. They would show Batman 66 and Lost in Space. And I became a real big fan of Lost in Space. Like I would love to pull out my math book or whatever I was working, unless it was English, then I had to force myself to read something they forced me or write something I didn't want to write. I hated English with a passion. Now I feel a little differently. I'm an old fucking man, and you know what I'm gonna do when I if retire, if I'm healthy? I'm going back to school to learn shit that I didn't give two shits about when I was younger. When I was younger, it was like, what am I good at? And it was like math and science. Like it made, especially when it came to like physics and math and stuff like that, it made sense to me. My mind could piece it together. I hated chemistry, even though I did. Like, if you gave me a chemistry test and there was paperwork and stuff, oh man, I could do good in that. But you stuck me in the lab with acids and bases and shit like that and telling me to identify. I fucking hated chemistry lab. Oh my god. I had so many holes in my shirt because people wouldn't clear any of that, clean it up properly, and it was just a nightmare. But I want to go, and I love watching documentaries. I love history, and I never wanted to do history papers or read about historical things, and now I want to. So the world has flipped on its ass, and I want to learn history. I want to learn about like bubonic plague. I want to learn about the Spanish flu. I want to learn about the Great Depression. I want to dig into that stuff. I want to dig deeper than I've already have into World War II. I want to dig into World War I because I don't know much about it. I know the big things, but I don't know all the details. I want to learn more about Napoleon. I want to learn more about Cleopatra. I want to learn more, and that's what I want to do. The other thing I want to do when I retire, and hopefully that's in 5 years, or at least close to it, I want to live where I can be healthy. I don't want to like retire and be in a bed. I want to retire when I could still walk. And I'm not the best, healthiest person. I really should focus on that. But like, I'm at risk with this coronavirus because I have asthma. It's an under controlled asthma, except in the fall, the spring. Oh my God. I'm sort of winded right now and I need a puff, but I can do without it. And I choose to do without it when I can. But yeah, there's just, I want to learn to draw. And I know it's too late, but I don't give a fuck. As long as my hand doesn't have arthritis to the point I can't hold a pencil, I want to learn to try to draw. And I probably won't be able to, but it will be fun trying. And like, back when I was in school, grades were everything. Like, I had to be the top of my class. I was always shooting for a 4.0. Because my dad would say, you know, we can't afford your college, so you're going to have to earn it. So it was always in the back of my head, I have to earn it. I have to go. And thank God he ingrained it in me, because with scholarships and such like that, I was able to pay for college. Yes, I worked too. I worked two jobs. I don't even know how the fuck I did that. With the amount of sleep I did. God, I look back at those times and I'm like, how did I fucking live off of 5 hours of sleep or less a night and fully function on 12 credit hours or greater, usually 18, because that's what a scholarship needed to have. And how did I do that plus work on the weekends at McDonald's? And then work at another place doing database work during the weekdays for 3 days a week. How did I fucking do that? I don't know. And plus buy comics and try to read some. Because yes, my comics were my escape in college. They were my escape. But now the interesting thing is, who gives a fuck if I get an F? I go to art and they say, you can't draw, what the fuck. Who cares? If I go to a history class and I write the shittiest paper that's on the planet, I don't care. But I'm there because I want to learn it. It's a big difference. And I think it'll be fun. Maybe I could get Barb to take something with me, but I don't think in those two subjects she will care about it. But, yeah, that's a lot of talking. And, I've already gone almost 40 minutes, and I haven't even gotten to the weekly reads, so I'll be right with you. All right, let's try to dig into this before Barb gets home. It's going to be a challenge. I probably have about 20 minutes, maybe 40. So there's a lot to discuss, and if Harley doesn't keep going in and out, plus I want to... I finished my fruit juice, so now I'm just going to drink some ice-cold water from the fridge, filtered and cold. So, need that to keep my mouth from getting dry from talking so much. All right. And I made the totals, and this one was probably a record for the year. Maybe there was a bigger day in Christmas or January, but this will get close. So that week, this is March 30th through April 5th. A lot going on that week. Let's start with the movies. I watched a shitstorm. Jay and Silent Bob reboot. I gave a 4 out of 5. All the Boys Love Mandy Lane. This was a fun week. I think I was off most of it. All the Boys Love Mandy Lane, a horror movie. I enjoyed it quite a bit. I watched the movie Bloodshot. I enjoyed that. I finished V-Wars on Netflix. Another 4 out of 5. 5 out of 5s. I watched Watchmen, the HBO series. Me and Barbara finished that one. I thought it was phenomenal. I thought what Lindelof did with it, it's like a sequel that seemingly flowed with what Alan Moore would have written, at least the way I would have thought he would have written. Pretty phenomenal. Tiger King, I watched that. Netflix, amazing. And Dracula, highly recommended for vampire fans. The Netflix three-part movie. I guess you can call them three movies. They're a little over an hour, about an hour and 15 minutes, an hour and 20 minutes, sometimes an hour and a half. It's like three short movies, but well worth it. Comics-wise, had 50 comics. One Warren, one Valiant, one Red Anvil, one Marvel, one Malibu, one Full Moon Comics, 35 DC, 5 Boom, one Action Lab, one Archie, one Apple Comics. I think that was like a subset of Malibu, though. And one American Mythology. We'll start with the 3 out of 5s. We had BB Free, number 1, A Girl Turns 15 in a World Where the United States Has Become the Fractured States. She wants to travel and do radio with her friend, but her father has other ideas for her. It was an interesting concept, but I thought it, while the story was perfectly told, I thought it wasn't like in my wheelhouse. Now that might change, but I did stop buying it. I think I still have issue 2 somewhere, maybe issue 3. But I sort of made a decision on reading issue 1. Sorority Babes in the Slime Bowl-orama. Okay, this was a movie by Full Moon. This is supposed to be the prequel to the sequel. The sequel hasn't come out yet. Two sexy sisters break into a bowling alley to get treasure, and they run into an imp. This imp grants wishes, but when granted, usually end up getting you killed. It's one of those stories. It was fun, and it was a fun B-film read. I gave it 3 out of 5, and you got to remember what a 3 out of 5 means. It means I liked it. Batman and Robin Annual from the New 52. Number 2 and 3. Dick tells a story of one of his first adventures fighting Tusk and how that relates to a package Damian sent him. The next annual is Batman and Robin in space. See, the lunar lander has powered up to go investigate it and find an alien parasites that are trying to infect the Earth. Then their ship crashes on Earth near the most active volcano. Then we get into the 4 out of 5s from Action Lab, Argus. It's a time-traveling story where the character has to stop one version of himself from destroying the time stream. If you're into time travel, you'll probably enjoy that. Faithless from Boom Studios, number 3 through 6. A strange story about Faith, who practices black magic, and everyone ends up having sex. She has sex with, ends up dying, usually. At least 2 people are dead. Well, except for those one creepy art guy, which is a big part of the story. I think he's the devil, and his daughter is the daughter of the devil, but that's how I'm interpreting it. The art guy and his daughter, well, I even said, are like the devil. And they have Faith, who's the main character, in their control at the end of the series. Very sexually explicit, very interesting concepts. Looking forward to Faithless 2. We'll see how it goes. We have Mighty Titan number 1. Trenchmouth is a villain. He releases a giant robot to steal from a bank, and Titan stops him. The story centers around an unemployed forensics expert who may or may not be Titan. It felt like a Bronze Age story from Red Anvil, and I really enjoyed it. I immediately went in there to see if I had all of the Red Anvils, and I'm missing a few. So I did add them to my cart at my comic shop, and they didn't have everything. I added what I could. We have Archie 600. Everyone is graduating high school and deciding what to do. Archie puts it off and has to take down a walk down memory lane, but he goes down another path, and now he decides to ask Veronica to marry him. Jug and Barry see the proposal in the jewelry store, and Betty is just devastated. Lodge mad initially, but lines up Archie with a VP job. It was one of those like what if stories, and it was very interesting. Archie 600. Batman the Cape Crusader Giant number one. Thank you, Hassan. Thank you. Hassan was able to get to a Target and get me a copy of this, and I was unable to find it at our Targets. Batman and Robin have to work together in stopping King Shark from destroying the museum. Batman turns to Joker, to Arkham, and Clayface tries to break out while he is there. It has a Man-Bat story where he is being manipulated by his current employer. And a Joker story where he turns off all the power in Gotham. That was an interesting story. I like that one the most. We have Scary Christmas number one. An orphan leader makes kids work in a sweatshop if they try to escape or go outside. One girl tells the boy in that sweatshop of a story of Jolo Torin, that's the best I can pronounce it, the Yule Cat, that will kill everyone on Christmas that does not have new clothes. She sews two new jackets for her and the boy, and they try to escape and run into the Yule Cat. The warden that's there catches the kid, and he is not wearing new clothes, so they say, "Hey, Yule Cat, look who's not doesn't have any new clothes on Christmas." So the Yule Cat kills him because he feasts on sinners. And then there's a Feast of All Sinners is a story of two teenagers that kill an old woman only to be haunted by a lady whose house they break into, and then she becomes a demon to kill on future Christmases. Neat as a Pin is told like the night before Christmas, but about a guy that was getting his money stolen, and he slaughters the guy only to be killed in the same way by a Petra turned to a demon. And I don't know what I meant by that, but it killed him. But it's like on Christmas Eve, you know, the night before Christmas, and all through the house. It's kind of told like limerical, or I don't know how you want to say that. Mantra number 19. This is a story of how the Necromancer ended up on the Godwill world. I wanted to read this because I read Lord Pumpkin Necromancer, and I wanted to see how this all begun, and this is the story that sort of gave that. Mantra had a baby, and it was Necromancer full grown. Lucas's, who's a guy, but it's spelled Lukasz, had to give up his life to keep Mantra alive, and Pinnacle guest stars. And we got Batman and Robin number 30 through 40, New 52. So this is pretty much Damian's dead, and Batman's trying to, Ra's al Ghul's trying to bring him back to life along with Talia. That's the basic premise of it. So Ra's goes to Paradise Island for the Lazarus Pit and has a run-in with Wonder Woman and Batman, but escapes to Nada Parbat, where Batman has a run-in with Frankenstein, who's just pissed off because Batman had captured him earlier and started dissecting him, because Batman kind of went nuts trying to save his son and bring him back to life. And who better yet to find the secret of death and life than start dissecting Frankenstein? So he was pretty pissed out of that. Batman, Frankenstein and Batman arrive too late. Gilbert Gottfried steals the body of Damian from Ra's and takes it to Apocalypse. Batman tries to steal his super armor from the JLA, But they stop him, and he has to steal it with the help of the Batman family. He goes after Damian and tells the others to protect Gotham. They disobey and get Cyborg to boom tube them to Apocalypse. Kalibak is going to shoot Damian as a weapon into the planet, and Batman is trying to stop him. Batman's plan somehow involves Darkseid. Batman takes a shard with him from Talia. His plan is to have Darkseid charge the shard with his I-beams, you know, like charge it with his Omega beams and then escape. His plan works, and he stabs Damian in the heart and brings him back to life. When he comes back, he has superpowers, so Damian's has partial superpowers. But Bruce has the feeling that these powers are going to go away as time goes on, and he's trying to tell Damian that. Eventually, they do go away, and then convergence happens. So it's like a series that's just ending, so convergence can happen, and DC Reborn can start. DC Rebirth, I'm sorry. From Valiant Comics, we have Bloodshot number 7, Bloodshot and Eidolon together, and they're being chased by Black Bar. Illidan has the ability to absorb other skills, so she takes out some armored soldiers, and they crash near the waterfall and an old hideout where General Grail was experimenting on things like spider aliens. Oh, this got really good. And other creatures. Then the Burned, that's the organization that was using Bloodshot, releases the nanites, and they take over the creatures in that facility, because you'll see like spider aliens, you'll see all kinds of Valiant things in that facility. Also, Bloodshot lost control of his body and shot Eidolon, the female. We have Blood of Dracula from Apple Comics. The first story is about a woman in the current time writing a letter to her friend about the relationship with Count Dracula. Turns out she might be an ancestor of Dracula's first love before he became a vampire. And it's kind of has a weird scene where it's like incestuous, because this might be the daughter and he's going to have sex with her. It's just weird. Second story is about Dracula in 2199. Dracula can thrive now because science is more important than religion. Terraforming is happening in everywhere, and with the exception of two places, and one of the places is Stonehenge, so they have a mystery there. And then Dracula has a run-in with the soldiers and slaughters most of them until a woman with a sword slices his hand off and it grows back. The last story is about Dracula going against a rich guy from Blunkholt. He takes a hostage, and Dracula says he will kill him if he does not show up at the castle. We have Dark Agnes number 2 from Marvel Comics. They are working to protect the nun and the woman who hired Dark Agnes. There is a costume ball, and the sister is murdered by someone. The nun has a sister, and that sister is murdered. We have Mera number 1-4 from Aquaman. This is Mera has been depowered and is trying to heal with Tula. The War of Atlantis continues, and she's trying to keep America out of it. Ocean Master is loving his new life with his new family on land, but sees that he is going to have to go to Atlantis because of what's happening. He first confronts Mera, and they team up as they go to Mera's home, and she is going to be betrayed by her own grandmother. They tell her they will help her regain the throne, and then Tula is captured. We have The Creeps number 23. This is a black and white magazine, so much value, $5.99. Take you about an hour to read. It's just so much value for what they give you if you're into horror. Story of a braggart that talks about defeating a cyclops, and he told a story to a mother of the cyclops, so that's the irony of the story. So he's as good as dead. A mafia guy in Vegas breaks people and kills them, only to be robbed by a soul at his own casino. And there's a vampire wakes up in the world where everything is dead, kind of like in Walking Dead, to find he has to survive on a hospital blood, and then has a run-in with the aliens that killed everyone, and that those aliens are bloodsuckers, so they're going to kill the vampire. And then there's a story about two guys that rent an old manor to go fishing and run into a ghost killer that used to use a brick kiln to kill people. There's a sci-fi story about two scientists who are mining an element and find an alien creature uses the element to lay eggs in, so those creatures slaughter everyone. There's a story about an older man that sells his soul to his son, so sells his soul so his son can win race car races. And one time, his son has to change cars. He ends up killing his own son because he's sabotaging the other car, and his son's in that car, and he made a deal with the devil. So the irony of that is he ended up killing his own son. Question number 26. It's a Christmas, and the question is beat. He's just exhausted. And Tot suggests as they go for a ride. Little do they know they would end up on a bus with the Riddler and a stripper that wants to kill everyone on the bus that does not answer the riddles. Very cool story. Batman Confidential 26 through 28. Someone is killing the museum board and curators. Batman thinks it's the Riddler because riddles are left behind. Turns out it is one of the fired museum workers who wanted a King Tut exhibit to open, and Gotham didn't. The board did not allow it to open because of all the crime in Gotham. He became King Tut, and Batman had to turn to the Riddler for help tracking him down. They stopped him, but at the end, it looks like the museum female workers will free King Tut. And what's interesting about that is in that arc, that's the first appearance of King Tut. And King Tut was created for TV in Batman 66. So there's a factoid for you. So he was one of those characters like Renee Montoya and Harlequin. So we got Green Arrow 39 through 49. This is the John Winnick, Phil Hester, Andy Parks, Green Arrow. Riddler is I started on a Riddler tangent for Gotham by Geeks, and that's what led me to this. Riddler is robbing some Russian artifacts for a rich Albert Davis and leaving riddles behind in the city. All he calls Batman, and has a conversation about the Riddler, which is awkward, but Ollie says, yeah, I'll take care of it, because Batman's being an asshole. He's like, well, do you want me to go down there? With that fucking voice, you know. And Ollie's like, no, fuck no, I'll handle it. The Riddler scheme is about to blow up all the bridges and tunnels that lead out of the city and potentially launch a nuclear weapon. That's been told to death, but it's interesting, mostly in Gotham, but now you're in Seattle. You know, cut off the bridges, don't let anybody escape, kind of like no man's land. Albert Davis uses magic to summon these demons, which kill all the power and communication to Star City, so you really do have like a no man's land situation going on in Star City. They also start killing anyone that is committing a crime, and a huge dome is over the city. Because this guy was wronged. His family died because of a crime. So now he kind of made a deal with the demons and the devil. It's to any crime and these demons will kill you. So if you even holster a weapon and point the gun at somebody, they're like Judge Dredd. These demons will pop up and slice your arm off and kill you. The JLA cannot penetrate the dome to help out. Ollie has to rally the mob and cops to work together to fight the demons and go after Mr. Davis, who is protected by the demons. They can't use the weapons because the demons can sense it and then kill them once they pick up a gun, which we've already talked about. Ollie tells Mia that he cheated on Diana with Joanna Pierce. What's interesting about that is Mia is the girl that he sort of adopted that had the rough life, was on the streets. She was kind of a prostitute. She was treated bad on the streets. You'll learn about some stuff later. Joanna Pierce is the niece of Black Lightning. So he had sex with that niece. And he had told Mia that, but he hasn't told Dinah that. He wants Mia on the sidelines, but realizes her archery skills, he needs them to hit demons from afar. While the battle is raging, he catapults himself and Mia into the castle. The demons can't teleport, and Albert says to kill him because the demons promised him one thing, and it turned to hell. He says it's the only way to stop him, the madness in Star City, and Mia is the one that kills him because Green Arrow wants to redeem this guy, save his life, and Mia's like, you can't. You know, all these demons are killing it, and she only sees one logical explanation and shoots him to kill. Albert lost his wife and kid, like I said, to violence, and that is why he did all this. 258 cops and mob members died. So Brick is trying to take control of Star City, of the gangs, and kills many, many more. Ollie gets killed, almost gets killed, but is saved by Mia. Ollie breaks up with Dinah, but does not tell her why. It's basically because of that affair. Brick gets arrested, but kidnaps the mayor's daughter while he's in prison and shows Star City that he's in control. Mia goes to the doctor and finds out she has HIV from her earlier life. And that turns really interesting. And you got to remember that this arc, it's like Team Arrow because you have Ollie, you have Connor, and you have Mia, and they're acting like a family in these stories. It's an amazing fucking run. It sort of takes place, the Winnick run sort of takes place slightly after the Kevin Smith run. I think there was somebody in between there, but highly recommend it. And then we go to the Hill House books, The Plunge number 1 and 2. I gave it a 5 out of 5. The Green Arrow was a 5 out of 5. A wave event on an island. What I mean about that is like an ocean wave event. The military receive a signal from the past from a ship that was stuck in 1986. They think the wave caused the solar panels to get reactivated, and the company hires a scavenger to go out into Russian territory to get the ship and the bodies. They find a dead corpse on a volcanic piece of the island. That body is taken to the ship and put in a morgue, but that body rises and blows up the ship. It's a really good horror comic. Highly recommended. 5 out of 5. That was from March 30th through April 5th. So, do I have another week to go over? God dang. I do. That was a marathon. So, the next week was April 6th through April 12th. And we'll start at the bottom. The 4 out of 5s were Riverdale. I watched the TV show. Almost got caught up. There's still two on the queue to watch. Stumptown I finished. Was amazing. And then I watched the Mule by Clint Eastwood, about a guy who's driving drugs over the border. And he's old, old. Really good show. 4 out of 5. There's a total of 44 comics that week. Another good week of reading. 3 out of 6 was the Aquaman Annual. It takes place after Mana on Amnesty Bay, where Sea Daddy destroys their festival. It's almost kind of like done in a humorous tone. Some old gods look like they're going nuts, but they are not. And it involves Lok teaching Aquaman's dog Salty to swim. We going nuts at the grocery store over a bad frozen fish. So there's a lot of humor in this type of series. Probably why I gave it a 3 out of 5. We then get out of the 4 out of 5s. And for some reason, I was typing out a 6. I got to fix that. I don't know what 6 was. I guess it's next to 5. But Larfleeze, 3 through 12. Really enjoyed this. Very wordy, though. It'll take you a while to read this sucker. Stargrave is Larfleeze's butler and assistant. The Wanderer escapes from another universe that has been destroyed and takes Stargrave from Larfleeze. She also wants to castrate Stargrave, which makes Stargrave want to go back to her previous owner, Larfleeze. She releases all the orange lanterns out of Larfleeze's ring. They fight and take Larfleeze's ring from him, and they torture him. He is the living battery, and when visions of his dead mom make him realize that he can take back what is his. He gets all of the orange rings back from the orange lanterns and sort of ends that part of the story. Larfleeze does battle with the Wanderer's family, the House of Tulath Dawn, who has being chased by the Council of Guardians from another universe who can't make a decision. Once Larfleeze defeats the Wanderer, he's indebted to him. Starfleeze is indebted to him. The Wanderer's indebted to him as his wife, and he does not want her. Later, he does a final battle with the House of Tulath Dawn and wins, and Wanderer imprisons them with the Council of Guardians. And then Gnort shows up. You remember that silly dog from Justice League International? He gets involved on the robot world and finds out Larfleeze and him are cousins. And Larfleeze is happy he has family that he forgets all about Stargrave. Poor old Stargrave. Green Lantern Volume 2, Number 50, Team Arrow and the Outsiders work together to take on the Riddler and Draken. Roy and Ollie are rescued by the teams, the Outsiders, and Team Arrow. They escape and find out that they are working for Brick. I wonder who they is. But anyway, it's not them. They're not working for Brick. Aquaman Giant, number 3. Aquaman Tempest story in New York with flooding. That happens a lot in Aquaman, where Aquaman has to get Garth to get his confidence back. A story about a fish that goes to Aquaman for help because Luthor is destroying his home, digging something underwater. And there's a story of Aquaman where Ocean Master declares war on the United States and is flooding Boston and Gotham. Mara issue from the miniseries. Finally, a story of Jackson as he joins the Titans, and his mother is trying to tell him about powers and how his father is dangerous, Black Manta. Damian kick Kid Flash off the team, but Raven tries to get him back on, but he states he is joining Defiance. And if you don't know what Defiance is, it's a team that Deathstroke forms. Kid Flash is in that team, along with one of his sons, I believe. I can't remember. There was a handful. There's the new Power Girl as well. The younger one. It's not the Power Girl from the JSA. We have Aquaman 31 through 42. 4 out of 5. Mara runs out of air. And Aquaman recruits the gangs to go against Wrath. Volko. This is the Abnett story, by the way. Maybe working with the Widowhoods. That's that religious set of women. That are part of Atlantis. Aquaman has to attack the shield called the Crown of Thorns, which is a dome over Atlantis, with his small army, and gets the help from King Shark. Once the shield is down, he is able to take Mara out of Atlantis because Mara is sort of, her powers are draining. She can't breathe anymore in the water. Mara commits to the queen, being the queen, if Wrath is defeated. Wrath is losing it, absorbing more magic, and even some of that inner circle turns on him. Mara on land is trying to heal, which leads her in the miniseries, which we just talked about. Aquaman battles Wrath, and I did read out of order, if that's what you're wondering. Aquaman battles Wrath and his army and has to save Merc. Mara to the rescue with the Zebel warriors, and Aquaman defeats Wrath, and he turns to a hybrid monster, which he hates. Then out of metal, Atlantis rises. I should put a comma there. And then out of metal, comma, Atlantis rises, and the United States freaks out because they don't know how to deal with another piece of land coming out of the ground. A general blackmails Amanda to send the Suicide Squad to sink Atlantis. Lord Satana becomes obsessed with the magic, and Harley and Deadshot turn to help Atlantis. The Master Jailer ends up making the ultimate sacrifice to stop the nuclear detonation that's set up by the Suicide Squad on Atlantis. Then the Drowned Earth crossover, and Atlanta sinks again, and they try to stop alien gods with the Justice League from sinking Earth. Aquaman makes an ultimate sacrifice and does not remember who he is, and that leads to the Kelly Sue DeConnick series. We have Mara 5 and 6. The Ocean Master betrays Mara. Of course he is. Every time you think he's going to have anything good, he turns. I thought he was going to turn good. Mara works with her mentor to find out about her grandmother is plotting against her as well. Tula is captured and forced to marry her own brother, Ocean Master, but Mara uses tradition to challenge the Ocean Master and defeat him. Now she has her way, and an army from her home to go against Wrath. Thank God they come in time into that Abnett run. Then we have a 5 out of 5. So that Mara 5 and 6 was a 5 out of 5. Aquaman is a 5 out of 5. 43 through 53. This is the DeConnick Rocha run. It's probably going down as one of my favorite Aquaman runs. Arthur is brought by these strange gods on an island. They look like older folk with names like Lok and Wee, which I've already talked about because I reviewed the annual. There's a beautiful woman named Callie, drawn absolutely gorgeous. Something out of like a romance horror history, horror, gothic horror comic. That's how she looks. Arthur doesn't remember who he is, and he's trying to remember. It turns out that Callie's mom, Nama, she's sort of a god too, was sent away from the island for her evil ways. Andy wants to reunite Callie with Nama, and Nama tries to kill both of them. That is when Andy uses his call, and Andy's Aquaman, by the way. He goes by Andy. And it's heard throughout the world, and Mara realizes that Arthur is alive. Callie morphs into a blue light creature with wings, and the old people become gods to help take down Nama. Wee helps Arthur remember who he is. He remembers that Mara was pregnant, and he freaked out. There is a cool tale of a drunk ship captain who killed his crew, and he made the first lighthouse in Amnesty Bay. He is an old and living as a monster that feeds off of anger. Mara has to marry someone and chooses Vulko because she knows the motherhood would frown upon Arthur. She knows he's alive, but they haven't seen each other. She goes to Amnesty Bay looking for Arthur when Black Manta and Manta's father as a robot attacks. This is a huge battle, and Aqualad is introduced back into the title. This is the Aqualad from Young Justice, not Tempest. She goes to Amnesty Bay looking for Arthur, and when Manta... I already talked about that. This is a huge battle, and Aqualad is introduced into the title. During the battle, Mara gets exhausted and slips into a coma. It's kind of a big deal because she's pregnant and exhausted and slips into a coma. They have to take her back to Atlantis, and she has the baby 4 months early, which is very premature, and they name her Andy, kind of after, because his name was Andy. She is very mischievous and curious baby. Some time passes, and Mara is still in a coma. Ocean Master wants to claim the throne, and Vulko announces that he is taking over as king and is going to run it with the widowhood. Tula tells Arthur this, and that is an extremely bad idea. Fantastic Aquaman. You can see I read so much Aquaman, I couldn't put it down. That let me... Yeah, we're almost caught up. I'm about a month, 3 weeks behind in... titles now. So I hope you enjoyed that rundown of books. You know, 50 and 44 is almost 100 books. 2 weeks! Plus a ton shit of movies and TV. All recommended. Hope you enjoyed this episode. I'll be back in a week or two. And enjoy your comics. My name is Mike Myers. My Twitter account @MikeMyersBrunch. On the Facebook, you can find me at Geek Brunch Podcast or DC Noise Podcast. Click the like button on Geek Brunch Podcast, or you can go to geekbrunchpodcast.com and follow all the episodes there. I want to thank you for listening. I want to thank you for the questions. Thank Hassan for the comic. I want to thank Dallo for the questions. Peace out and enjoy your comics. Take care. Bye.